burns in my heart is that sense of, yes, he accepts us as we are, but yes, he wants us to be open to his Holy Spirit to change us into his likeness even more. Changed from glory into glory. And my main message really about the Holy Spirit, or I want to focus on, Chris talked about the Holy Spirit being with Jesus, going into the desert, the Holy Spirit was with him, and Harriet really hammered home the point about the love that Jesus has for us through the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about us together and the Holy Spirit among us together, because this is so powerful and so important, and it's of prime importance. We are part of a worldwide church that Jesus is refining and making a bride. For many of you, I know we'll have the sense of Jesus is coming soon. And it says he returns for a glorious church. The only way this can happen is if we are open to the Holy Spirit to touch us and enable us to be together in this family of God, in this community of God, which is the local church. I just want to read you through some verses about the Holy Spirit. Do you know Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all make the same point, quoting John the Baptist. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In Mark, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with his Holy Spirit. In Luke, John answered, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one who is coming, who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And in John, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And that's Jesus. And if we fast forward to Acts, and right at the beginning of Acts, Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time beginning to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so Jesus himself repeats it. And it's for what? To be witnesses, my witnesses, he says, to Jesus. Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And we are not quite at the ends of the earth, but we're a long way from Judea and Samaria here in Witham today. But the mission is ours, and the same Spirit calls us and gives us the same mandate to be his witnesses. Do you know what the world needs to see? It's not Christians who individually are having a great time with God. It is actually a group of men and women who have given themselves to Jesus, who are demonstrating as a community that we have answers for this world. There are so many problems that, and you don't have to look very far at all, whether it's violence on the streets, whether it's trouble with the NHS, whether it's the inability to care for our elderly. And together, Jesus, I believe, calls us to say, make a difference. make a difference in Witten, make a difference together. But when you break this down again, nothing turns people off faster than people who actually can't get on. We're called, you know, to love one another, to forgive one another as God forgives us. And we do, and we must. But you know, there's a glorious idea, I think, called the communion of saints. A glorious idea where men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit can agree, can actually take the word of God, take their experience of God, and give counsel and give good advice. And that's what the church has done down through the centuries. And it's time that we really upped our game, I think, in terms of looking to one another, looking to be a challenge to one another, looking to strengthen and reach out in particular, because our aim is to change the community through the outreaches that we have. Now, the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. It's a person. When Jesus says in John 17, isn't it, or John 14, he talks about sending another counselor, another helper, one just like him. You know, the Holy Spirit can be grieved and quenched. These are human things. The Holy Spirit is powerful, but in a way which this world does not recognize. And Jesus said that was the case. He said that was true. But we as Christians recognize and know that force, that power of love that should be in us, changing us and transforming us. You know, one of the wonderful things about this morning is that we've seen what I was wanting to talk about really already, because words of wisdom, words of knowledge, when somebody steps forward and says to me, Gordon, I feel God's put something on my heart, that's good. That's the Spirit is stirring one another, and it's excellent. Do you know, it's really important that we respect our leaders, and that coming to me, it's not a big thing to come to me and say, Gordon, can I speak? Can I say something from the front? My heart is for you all. I'm called by God to have that Father's heart. Do you know, and I really want to see everybody develop to the full extent that God has for you. And as Paul says, I'm going to decrease, but I want you to increase. I want you to stand up as a people of God in this town and do bigger and greater things than I've seen. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's the power of God. The Holy Spirit was a person. I'm not going to labor that point, but he was with Jesus all the time. Somehow, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and this hotline to the Father, he said, I know my Father, I know my business. No, he's the Father was talking to him, and there's the Holy Spirit was there. What a picture. What a thing. In a moment, I want to challenge us, because I want us to be for a moment in that place where it's us and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to put a verse on the screen. I want to spend a few minutes, but then I want to invite you. Has God spoken to you? Let's share just for a few minutes what God said, just to see how God moves when we give him space, when we give him room. God asked me a question this morning. He said, why are the arms of the cross so short? And it seems a bit out of proportion, actually, doesn't it? And I don't know if you made this one, Dave. But what's interesting, of course, is the height's closer, but the arms are nowhere near, are they? And of course, the practical reason is you're going to fall over. So one of the things we do as Christians, we put our arms around people and we put our arms out. We try and hold people up. Sometimes we try and hold a whole church up. And you know what? You're like that cross. You can't do it. You fall over. But if you want to be able to hold a lot up, be strong in the middle, right? Core strength. That's what's going to give you the ability to have long and strong arms. And I think that's what God's saying, really. He's saying, if you want the ability, if we need to be people with strong arms reaching out to a lost world. We need to be able to reach out where nobody else reaches out. We need to be able to reach out further and stronger and hold on tighter and more defiantly and more fiercely than this world will ever think is possible, even. Because that's our calling. That's what God says. You know, and that's to do that, we so need the strong middle section, that thing between us and God, which enables us to reach out. I want to read to you, I don't know if Chris can put this on the screen, but do you know the Holy Spirit gives us gifts? And in the New Testament, Paul talks about them in the context of the congregation. We are to encourage one another with spiritual gifts. And that's what I want us to do. This is a sort of three-part series on the Holy Spirit, but this is, if you like, a final thought, really. Say, let's encourage one another with the spiritual gifts that Jesus has given us. So it's 1 Corinthians 12, is it? From verse 1, Chris? Well, read it off the screen for me, because I've got a different version, all right? Come on, humour me. Okay. It's pretty clear, actually, isn't it, when you read it? Does it make sense? It does, doesn't it? We are one. There's one body. Where is the body? You know, no one found it, did they? It was gone. They went to the tomb on Monday morning and it was gone. But here we are today. And by this revelation, we sense we are this body. We are his body through his spirit. And he calls us to be one. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and you know he was writing some words of correction because it seemed like it was a bit chaotic in the church. And people had mixed motives in using the Holy Spirit, in using these gifts. But in 1 Corinthians 14, it makes it crystal clear. And in that passage, actually, it talks about the common good. But these gifts are for everyone, and therefore the profit of all, with all. And they are absolutely not to make you look good in your own sort of, I've got a spiritual gift and I'm going to use it, is the wrong motivation. The right motivation is, I think God's saying something and I need to share it. You know, sometimes it's hard to actually step out and share something. I encourage you to be bold, be strong, be full of courage, and do it, because you just never know. And do you know what? I'm really impressed with people who just say, I think, I just sense in my spirit, I think, I may be wrong, but I think God's saying this. That's important. Some people are very confident, but I'm also, it's good to encourage one another. And do you know what? If you make a mistake, I applaud. You say, thank you, Lord. We're alive. You know, we're alive. We're trying. We're on the road. It's a good thing. So I want to encourage us to... Now, Liz and I were talking about how we'd do this, and I thought this would be an interesting little challenge for us. So, Chris, could you put that PowerPoint slide up? I'm just going to give us a few minutes. This verse on the slide, on the text, is the last, I think it's the last verse in chapter 17 of John, which is that high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed. And let's just check that I'm right. And through 14, 15, or 15, 16, and 17, Jesus comes back again and again to this theme that the Holy Spirit, he's going to leave the Holy Spirit with us. His peace he's going to leave with us. Do you know, over and over again, he hammers home in those chapters this thing about peace. There's only one thing Jesus says he'll leave with us, and it's his peace. He doesn't actually say he'll leave the Holy Spirit. He says he gives the Holy Spirit. Different concept. He says, I leave my peace. And do you know, this is the point, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Peace. It is so important that it is good as men, that iron sharpens iron, we have discussions and sparks fly. It's right that we sort out the big things of life and we have that kind of discussion together. But our hearts must be towards peace, I believe. And if it's peace at my expense, then so be it, because God, the Heavenly Father, is my boss. You know, he will take charge. He will sort this out. It's not for me to, unless I'm called to, and I am sometimes, you know. But the peace, this thing of peace is so, so important. But I want us to pause. I was very impressed with David Cameron a few weeks ago, because he stepped in and he said, no, we should be quiet. Do you remember that? So I'm thinking again, let's spend a few moments, and then I'm just going to invite, if you feel God's really impressed something important on you, to share very briefly something, and we'll see how this joins together. The verse, I hope it's clear, but that's Jesus speaking. And it's a real summary verse. And when he says they, because at the beginning of the passage, higher up, He says it's not just about you, but it's about those who are going to believe because of me, because of you. So he's actually joins us up, because we believe because of them and others and generations of others who have passed this great faith onto us. We believe, and so we are, I believe, them. And the Holy Spirit's work is to make Jesus known to us. So dwell on it for a few moments. We've had a few minutes. Does anybody want to contribute? Francis. Oh, and Amanda.
Wish I had a loaf of bread. Imagine a nice cob loaf and pass it one to another and you all have a piece. So you have that loaf within you. We all have some of that loaf within us. Now, Jesus is the bread of life. And we all have him indwelling. Those of us that love him, indwelling our hearts and our lives. We're of the same spirit, of the same mind. We should remember that. We have the same loving Jesus in our hearts, trying to one body, one loaf, as it were, move us together in, if you understand what I'm saying.
He said to me that he loves you and he cares for you and he loves you so much that his heart bleeds for you. And he says it doesn't matter who you are or what situation that you're going through, he is there for you every step of the way.
Okay, as everyone knows, I think, blew up last week, and the whole of the week I have been thinking about all the stuff, run away from church, I won't go to church again, oh, I'll go to another church. And then God over the week has been working in my heart, my working in my mind, and what he gave me was this. He gave me the woman with the issue of blood. She was an outcast, yet Jesus stopped and healed her on the way to Jairus's home. Then there was the woman at the well that Jesus met. She too was an outcast, but Jesus met her where she was. Do we as a church meet the people that Jesus would meet? And do we as a church love people like me? People who Jesus went to see In the Bible, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were complaining because Jesus kept hanging around with sinners. Are we a church? Are we easily offended? Do we love with the love of Jesus? Thank you for forgiving me, Jesus. Amen.
Morning. I can feel where Jill's coming from, because I feel sometimes tough to come in church, because not because of you lovely people, it's because of me, because I've got some things wrong in the past. And what the verses spoke to me about was about how, you know, if we need to make a phone call, it'll take us 10 seconds to make a phone call, but the Holy Spirit is there. He's right there. It takes less than a second. The Holy Spirit is with us 24/7, and He wants us to see the loveliness of Jesus. Look at Him. Look at the wonderful loveliness of Jesus. You know, and He'll help us instantly to overcome temptation, sin, hard times, sickness, disease. He'll help us to come, everything. He'll equip us to be witnesses, to speak into people's lives. If He's got a job for us to do that day, to go and administer some kind of help to people, He's there 24/7. He's always there. And if we focus on the loveliness of Jesus, which is what the Spirit wants to reveal to us, the loveliness of the Father, He's there. Even when we grieve Him, and I know I've grieved the Holy Spirit so many times in the past, He doesn't give up on us. He wants to be fellowshipping with us all the time. Thank you. Thank you for this precious Holy Spirit. Praise.
This is Tino, isn't it?
Yeah.
The pastor said be brief, so I'll do my best. Being brief is not a strength of mine. but as I was sitting there, I heard the Lord throw a scripture to me. He drew me to, I think it's 1 Timothy, or it might be 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But the scripture says, "For you have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." You know, by way of the Spirit, I can sort of see that a lot of people within our church, that's us, are in a season of uncertainty where there's a lot of question marks, things that you're looking to God for answers for. Someone I'm catching by the Spirit, that there's someone's facing a court case that they're not sure what the outcome will be. You know, as a church and even as a community, I believe that there are a lot of things that are going on in our town that are causing us to be filled with fear. But I want to encourage the church, and I feel the Spirit is saying to us that fear does not come from me, says the Lord. If there's fear in your heart, take confidence in knowing that I did not put that there. For my promise to you, says the Holy Spirit, is power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. So, if He has given you a sound mind, if the Lord has given you peace, if you get your peace from me, says the Lord, the world won't be able to take away your peace. If you find your peace in the earthly things, then the world will take away your peace as and when it decides. But if you find your peace in me, if you're rooted in me, if you fill yourself with love, If you fill yourself with power, as that scripture says, he says that fear will leave your hearts. And he says, I'll begin working in your communities, but most importantly, I'll begin working in your hearts.
Listening to that man talk about the spirit of fear. My biggest fear for years, even as a Christian, was death. I was petrified of it. I wouldn't listen to it. I wouldn't be where anybody talked about it. I would turn my back. Well, most of you know, in this last year, I have dealt with 5 funerals. Well, less than a year. And I have another one to deal with in a couple of weeks. I've been dealing with it. And I said to God, why are you making me deal with the thing I hate most? And he said, Beryl, I have taken the thing that you fear most and I've used it for my glory. So if the glory is God's, that's fine.
Most of you know who I am. I've been coming to this church for a long time, and I love doing stuff for the church, and I'll try and do as much as I can. And but I've always wanted to be not seen. I don't want people to see what I'm doing. We just like doing them. And years ago, before Chris joined us, I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll become the treasurer. You can just stay at the back, you know. And unfortunately, that didn't quite work out. And fortunately for me and for you, a man who knows how to look after money actually did turn up and release that. When I become an elder, Gordon, he asked, and a previous pastor prayed on the day we were sort of introduced, and he prayed for wisdom. And he said, I want you to have wisdom. And I thought, yeah, you know. Wisdom's a funny thing because, you know, you don't want it to be that people go, oh, we need some words, Dave. And it always sort of frightened me a bit. I didn't want to do that. But in the last sort of 6 months, it's become stronger, and I did get up and say that. And that's nothing to do with me. But also, it's funny we should have this here, because last Thursday we had a prayer meeting. We do meet on a Thursday night. I'm not going to boast because I've only gone to 2. I didn't want to go. But I felt God saying, you've got to go, because as a church, prayer is where everything's going to come from. But within that prayer, we listen to God, we listen to Jesus, we listen from the Holy Spirit. And I was really pleased that for that few moments of silent listening, it wasn't just silence, it was listening, that people heard. And they heard important things, you know, and it'd be horrible that we miss something because we just didn't hear. And what has become clear to me over the last few months is you've got to do what God asks. But in an uplifting, it should be uplifting for everyone here, and it's encouraging. But sorry, I'll go back to this prayer. Last Thursday night, I actually read the whole prayer, and it's a prayer Jesus prays. You know, Jesus did pray, and he prayed a lot. And I read the whole prayer out, and it's quite complicated. I didn't quite get all of it, but there is a bit earlier on where Jesus says, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." So their message is here, we read it, but he's praying for all who will believe. And I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love me as much as you love me. Sorry, that you love them as much as you love me. And there's nothing better to the world than a disunited church. You know. But when God's people are together doing what God wants them to do, then they will know. All right.
actually been given his word in the beginning of the service, and I thought, no, I get up too much, I come and speak, and I said, Lord, you use somebody else. And you know what, sometimes you do stand up here and you do say a lot of things. But sometimes God tells you something to do, and then because you involve so much, you don't always do what he wants you to do. And you don't always say what he wants you to say. God said to me this morning, I am your father. I am your father. You will never know how much I really love you. Someday you will understand, but you will never know how much I really love you. You do not understand what I gave up for you. I've given my son. I've given you everything. He said, my ear has not gone deaf, and I still hear you. He said, it doesn't matter where you are, what you think you are, who you think you are. It doesn't matter how you feel. I am still your father. My eye has not gone blind to see you. You are always on my mind. I will never forsake you, and I will never leave you. I am always with you. That's what God said. I want to tell you this morning. Understand, I am your father. Love is between two parties. Love cannot be on a single person. And God said this morning, I love you, but I want to engage with you, and I'm waiting for your love to return. And once we are in one, when we love and we are in a love relationship, you are bound to me forever. And I will do everything to protect you, to guide you, to lead you. I am your God. I am your power. I am your strength. Even if you've never known what a father's love is, I want you to know, I will love you forever.
Thank you, Phil, and I just want to add to that that there's no sense in which this is performance related. I have four children, and they have chosen their own lifestyles, behaviours, and ways of doing things, in some of which I delight, and in others I don't. But if you ask me, are they still my children? The answer is yes. Do I still love them? The answer is yes. Do I still look for every way in which I can be proud of them? Yes. And God is a much better father than I ever could be. And he accepts us as we are. And Gordon says earlier, he loves us too much not to want us to change. But this is not performance related. God doesn't only love us as our Father when we're doing well, when we choose to do things exactly as he wants us to do it. He just loves us because that's the way he is.
So I was sitting there. What's God saying? God said to me, don't say nothing. So I deliberately went to the second row. because, you know, it's an opportunity. I've got to be quick. It's an opportunity for everyone to be involved, isn't it? You know, when you, as Phil says, sometimes you talk too much, you know, you can always be at the front. But then I sat in there and God said, actually, I want you to do something, Chris, you can get up. So up I come. We're a body. God says we are a body, right? And the body consists of many different parts. We have ears, eyes, nose, feet, hands, arms, legs, hats. Many different parts of the body. And we all make the body. And if there is a part missing, it means we're not a body. Okay? So this is a bit out there, but anyone here who feels they're an eye, stand up. Does anyone here thinks they're an ear? Stand up. If you... Hands, stand up. Feet, stand up. No missionaries, eh? Oh, we do. Nose, mouth. All right, then I'm going to go a bit. Knees, elbows, core. Am I missing anything? Anything else that makes up the body? Nails. Heart. I want to see everyone on, so tell me what I'm missing. Lungs. Hair. Brains. Bum. What do I need to make everyone stand? Lord. Hats. Curtis, you're a hat. Soul. I think the point is, we are the body of Christ. And we have been appointed, positioned. There's people here who might have been in Witham their whole life. There's people here who've been brought into Witham for a special purpose. But we are the body of Christ here. And we are his mission wherever we go. And so I want to pray.